organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 5, yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, again taking you home on the drive home at 5. And joining me, our very special guest, much earlier than he's normally on. You can hear him every night, virtually every night, 9 to 1. As I was listening to you last night, John Batchelor, with one of your regular guests and contributors, the guy we're going to be talking about now, Larry Kudlow, who received a call. I want you to listen to his description of how he responded to the call from the president seeking that he become his new economic advisor.
By the way, it was out there. I didn't know that. I wasn't watching TV this morning. And the president called, and he said, it's out. Because I don't think he was intending to put it out till tomorrow or Friday. And I said, oh. And he said, you're on the air. And he said, I'm looking at a picture of you. And he said, very handsome. So Trumpian.
Now, he also went on to insist, though, that he's not for tariffs, not for sanctions.
I must say, as someone who doesn't like tariffs, I think China has earned a tough response, not only from the United States. I mean, a thought that I have is that the United States could lead a coalition of large trading partners and allies against China, or to let China know that they are breaking the rules left and right. That's the way I'd like to see it.
John Batchelor, you know Larry Kudlow as well as anyone in the broadcasting industry. What did you think when the president called him up and asked him to replace Cohen, who had decided to exit over differences with Donald Trump on economic policy?
Chiefly what I thought was, what a thrill for Larry, who's worked very hard all these years to present to the American people his understanding of the markets. And the president values communication, on-air communication. And the president is keen that Larry, Mr. Kudlow, the chairman of the National Economic Council, communicate to the public as often as possible. And last night, the first 10 minutes of my show, he was talking to the president about this conversation, about announcing to be the chairman, and they were going to make the announcement on Friday. So Larry came on and talked to the audience. He didn't say, I was talking to the president and I said yes. He said, I was talking to the president. And then he went on to very carefully explicate trade and trade talk, the question you're asking, on air last night here. And I'll repeat what I learned from Larry. NAFTA, which is the challenge for us here in North America, NAFTA is negotiable. You note that in the tariffs for steel and aluminum, Mexico and Canada were exempted in these early days. That tells me that all of it's negotiable, not only for our ally South Korea, where we get a lot of steel, or our ally Brazil, where we get a lot of steel, but also possibly for China if it mends its ways. So what I understood from Larry last night is that the president says, yes, Larry, these are negotiating tools. And Curtis, we recognize that because Donald Trump's a builder in New York. He's a developer. That's how you get anything done in New York. You take a position, and then you're negotiable. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. You look for other partners. So what I heard from all this, shouldn't challenge the free traders, the so-called free traders, and it shouldn't alarm union officials who are ecstatic that the president is doing something for them finally after years, decades of watching China steal our jobs. It looks to me to be a position in which they're going to go in either direction, for tariffs or for free trade, but China will remain the target.
And you feel that Larry Kudlow will be able to carry that message not just throughout our country, because people need reassurance, because the president's policy, at least in the past, has seemed to vacillate. Now he's saying, oh, no, tariffs and sanctions. So Larry is going to be able to explain it so that an average everyday American is going to understand it?
Right. It's Make America Great Again. It's America First, but at the same time, it doesn't mean to the exclusion of our allies. Let's choose another issue that isn't steel. Mercedes-Benz makes a lot of its vehicles in this country.
Yes.
And sells them. And good for them. Good for the people who make those cars. They're mostly in right-to-work states in the South. However, Mercedes-Benz also makes vehicles overseas and charges money to import them and charges money for importing our cars into Europe, into Germany. That's not, to my understanding, fair practice. That is taking advantage of the United States. We talked about that last night. I don't have all the facts in front of me, but there are issues like this that are going to be high profile. Everybody sees a Mercedes on the street, and people can understand that the U.S. has been taken advantage of. I think that we'll see more of that, more examples that you can see right in front of you, that we don't mind our trade partners, but we don't want them treating us as a chump. Now, China, again, Curtis, this is important. Nobody speaks well of China. Larry doesn't. The president doesn't. No one speaks. And I've not heard any good China reports for years. So I think that that will increasingly be the focus of all talks of tariffs.
Now, a question here in that, in listening to your program every night from 9 to 1, this is your home station, but you're heard across the nation. Your guests oftentimes say, when dealing with world leaders or the market, you need consistency and stability. This first year of the Trump administration, just in terms of his cabinet officials or those who speak on his behalf, it appears to be a house of chaos in the West Wing. Doesn't that say to world leaders or those who are managing their economies, why should I deal with this guy or this gal when, in fact, in a year's time, they may not be there any longer?
Donald Trump's candidacy disrupted the Republican Party. Donald Trump's presidency has disrupted the United States of America. Donald Trump's candidates for cabinet positions disrupt our relations with our allies. There's a theme here, Curtis. This is not business as usual. This is disrupting in order to get a better deal for the Americans, as I understand it. Now, there are lots of choices that are available to a president. I think as a first-time politician, he made choices quickly in December and January of 16 and 17, and he has reason to pause about some of those choices, Mr. Tillerson being the one that's most mentioned right now. I didn't think, and many of my guests did not think, that Tillerson was a natural for the Secretary of State. There were other choices. John Bolton would have been my choice, for example. And we're told that the president continues to talk to John Bolton for a senior position in his cabinet. Larry Kudlow was my choice for National Economic Council right away in January, right after the election.
Yes.
But it took some time to get there. So I think these changes are good. I think that the president is looking for the appropriate player for the moment and sending the message to the world and to the United States of America that we're not about the powers in Washington. We're about making choices for the American people. Now, this is rhetoric. It has to be translated. But I don't mind this. I don't call it chaos. It's too easy to say because they're making personnel changes. Like right now, they're debating the Veterans Affairs. Dr. Shulkin, who was a choice,
yes,
may be on his way out, and there might be another choice. It might be Rick Perry from Energy.
Correct.
Do I mind that they're going to change cabinet positions? Not at all. The point is to get the job done. Shulkin has problems at the VA. Bring in a new manager. Let's talk baseball. That's the analogy. When the team's not working, you don't fire the whole team. You fire the manager, right, Curtis?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
But hopefully Donald Trump does not have what George Steinbrenner had in him, which was this propensity to keep bringing back Billy Martin over and over and over. I notice he does that in real life. He may dismiss somebody. He may cause them to leave the West Wing, to be a member of his cabinet, but he'll still seek counsel from them
right,
on a regular basis.
As the president started out as a New York developer. You have a small group of friends. You live with them. You come up with them. You have competitors. They never really go away. There's only so much Manhattan to develop. I think that's the way he's doing his job. The measure here, Curtis, is going to be at the polls, but before that, the measure is in the pocketbook, and the pocketbook right now is very strong. So whatever Donald Trump has as a method, it's working.
Now, John Batchelor, almost every other night, sometimes every night, we'll hear Larry Kudlow as a primetime guest of yours from 9 to 1. now that he will have this position, do you anticipate he will continue to make those appearances?
I will go the way Larry wants. Last night, on air and off air, he said that he saw no reason that he couldn't continue to talk to me on Tuesday nights. Larry and I have been together for, oh, Lordy, since at least 2004, every Tuesday night, talking an hour about the markets. And I've learned a deal from him. So if it's possible for his schedule, he's going to be traveling a deal now. A phone call is easier than going on television, however. So it was Larry's intention last night to do this. You know from your show, booking the White House can be very difficult.
Sure.
And you go through a lot of hoops. So I'll go only so far as Larry wants to go. He did say he wants to be on the show next Tuesday.
Well, I'll be listening tonight to the John Batchelor Show, as I try to almost each and every night. And I would recommend all of you listen. And if you can't catch it in the normal time spot, 9 to 1, you definitely want it to get it on the rebound on the podcast. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you, Curtis.
Imus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And the Drive at 5.
There are so many ways to do it.
On air, online, on the app.
That's unbelievable.
77 WABC.
As we continue here in the Drive Home at 5, the young adults were out in force, starting in Parkland, Florida, where the shooting took place that resulted in 17 killed, 16 injured. They saw the beginning of the wave, and other students have joined them all across the country in our neck of the woods. In some of the school districts in New Jersey, though, there were warnings by school superintendents that if you leave school for the 17 minutes of commemoration and speeches only to return, you will be suspended. We heard a phalanx of young people who were chanting when they were warned.
Protect our kids! 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 Protect our kids!
So they're screaming that outside of South Plainfield, one of those school districts where the students were told they would be suspended for the walkout.
Being suspended means that I can fight for something. Then that's what I'm going to do. Because personally, I'd rather take ISS than to take a bullet.
100%. If it's for the right of gun control and to show that we're coming together as a community, I'm 100% okay with suspension.
Well, the school superintendents obviously delivered. Sayreville student Rosa Rodriguez found out she's suspended for 2 days as a result of walking out with her fellow students.
If you were going to come outside in the first place, you should have still came outside. Just because you didn't want to have these consequences and stuff, just stay inside. You should have came outside and like proven them wrong and everything.
On the line to discuss it, I'll be joining him tonight on New York One. You could actually watch it both at 7 and then again at 11 is Herson Barrero, the New York One political commentator and editor at large for City and State. Thanks for joining us, Herson.
Curtis, I'm surprised that you didn't play La Cucaracha, because, you know, you only call me for Latino affairs. So it's okay, but I noticed that the student's name is, she's a Latina, very valiant, going and exercising her right. And who is this stupid principal? Can you give me the name? Because he or she is an idiot. This student is not out doing, you know, was suspended because of drugs. It wasn't suspended because she was carrying a weapon or that she got into a fight. This student was actually doing something that's very democratic. There should have been a civil lesson for this person. So this principal, whoever she or he is, should actually be suspended by the district. We don't need those type of educators anymore. They're in the 50s, the Make America Great. She must have voted for Trump or he must have voted for Trump. What an idiot.
Well, that was taking place in Jersey earlier. There were a number of school districts, but here
within must be a Chris Christie appointee, a leftover from that idiot, that fat face.
You mean Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie,
Shamu
right?
El Jefe, you call him Shamu El Jefe. He's nothing but a fat pig that really didn't belong in public life, and I'm guessing the days are over.
Oh, there he is. He took umbrage to that. But here on our side of the Hudson River in the five boroughs of the city of New York, I saw the politicians grandstanding. First, it was Mayor de Blasio at Edward R. Murrow High School in Brooklyn. Right. When the students walked out. And then I saw the governor, Andrew Cuomo, laying down on the ground in Zuccotti Park as if this was a 60s anti-war demonstration. Did the young people get co-opted by letting these politicians steal their thunder?
Well, Curtis, let me just say this. A politician and a camera, there's two dangerous affairs. It's like you, Curtis Lee, where if you see a camera, you're going to shovel everybody to the side. You're going to elbow everybody. The fact is, these politicians, these older people, viejos like myself, you know, we don't belong. Let the young people carry on their struggle. This is magnificent to see these young people, young women and men, who are actually taking something on that the politicians have been incapable. I condemn Bill de Blasio. I condemn Governor Cuomo. And, you realize how stupid he looked on film? He was trying to be cool because he had his cashmere coat on, trying to lay along with the young, the future of this country, these young people who are so valiant, so courageous, and so rightful in the way they're expressing themselves against the guns that are a nuisance, that are overburdening this country, that, you know, there's too many guns for too many people in this country, never mind the rest of the world. Look, Andrew Cuomo didn't belong there. He was fixing his tie so he could post for the camera. Get the hell out of the way, Andrew. And so Bill de Blasio, nobody believes anything you do. He could be giving you the last rites before you die. Nobody would ask. God doesn't believe him anymore. So the freaking politicians, stay out of the way of these young people. They've done everything correct. We haven't. Us viejos, I consider myself an old person. Let them have their space. Get the hell out of their way.
All right. We'll take a swig of Geritol momentarily, and let's look at that congressional district in Pennsylvania where it looks like the Democrat Lamb has beaten the Republican. Now, that's a big gun district, both the Democrat and Republicans pro-guns. If all of a sudden the kids left their schools there, which oftentimes they do during hunting season, and they had their rifles, and they were circulating outside promoting gun rights, gun user rights, would you support their efforts in doing that?
I don't support anybody's right to own a gun. It's all so, it's so exaggerated. By the way, Dick's Sporting Goods, where I used to buy, you know, initially when I heard the story that they actually were giving up, I said, well, I'm not buying anything from them anymore. I'm going to speak with my money, with my wallet, with my credit cards. I've had enough of this nonsense. The kids are doing the right thing. Not kids. These are smart, young, intelligent people, warriors. They're actually more patriotic than any of the foolish patriots we have in either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, who are out to be bought by the NRA and the millions they spend in actually buying our politicians or elected officials, who are all cowards, no exceptions in either party. So, and in terms of Pennsylvania, that district, I just hope that the better person wins. Democracy was best, but the Democrat, I think, jumped the gun. I want the Democrat to win, for whatever that's worth, but the fact is that he jumped let the people's votes count. Once they count it, then you can declare yourself a victor. I hope he loses just for that.
Oh, interesting. Hurston Barrera hopes that Lamb loses because he declared victory at about 1:30 in the morning yesterday. As the votes are still being counted, particularly the absentee ballots, they could shift the district to the Republican candidate who was accused by some in the RNC of having a porno stash. That means they claim his mustache looked like he was a porno actor, and that's why women didn't vote for him. Got to bounce that off of Larry Menti up next, who knows all about the Keystone State.
The Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa.
On the air, on the app. Curtis Sliwa, live.
My boy Curtis Sliwa.
Local.
There's a guy in a red hat.
On it.
Everybody listens to Curtis.
77 WABC.
As we continue here in the Drive Home at 5. And I couldn't believe there was an RNC guy on TV in the wee hours of the morning as the count continued in that embattled congressional race in western Pennsylvania, in which he said, our guy, Saccone, who should have won this, I told him to get rid of that porn stash, claiming that his mustache looked like he was an old 70s porn star. I said, I've heard everything, but this is way too much. On the line once again, back-to-back, belly-to-belly, like he was last night, Larry Menti, who hosts his own program here at WABC Saturday nights from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. Larry, did Saccone lose because he had a porn stash?
Does that look like a porn stash to you?
I don't know.
That looks like an Ed Grimley stash. There's nothing porn about Rick Saccone. Would you ever look at a porn with Rick Saccone in it?
No, but why is it the Republicans seem to be blaming him for this loss when I felt in many respects it was a reflection of people sort of losing support for Trump?
I don't think it was Trump. I really don't. I mean, look, he definitely lost some support in the district. There's no question. But the district still supported him. Over 50% still were for Trump. I believe what the Republican Party is saying right now. I think Conor Lamb was just a better candidate, was a much better candidate, and he ran as a Republican. So rather than being a referendum on Donald Trump, and look, there's some validity to it. I'm not saying that there is no validity to that argument, because certainly he came to town. They put a lot of resources into the district, and they still lost. But Saccone, not a great candidate. Conor Lamb was a superb candidate, and he ran, as I said yesterday, as a Republican. He ran as a conservative Democrat. So are the Democrats willing to give up their ideology in certain states, in certain districts, to win those districts? That's what we're going to find out. That has more to do with the midterm elections, I believe, than the Trump effect in those districts. Because if they're willing to run a candidate like Conor Lamb, and there are more Conor Lambs out there, this could be a big win in the midterms for the Democrats. But then they're going to have a conservative wing to their party.
Larry Menti, I know you're great at political analytics. You know where the votes are coming from. I know they're counting the paper ballots, the absentee ballots. Do you have any idea which county they're coming from and what the over-under point spread is in terms of who will do better with those?
From what I understand, all the absentee ballots are counted now. Now they have to be recounted. It sounds like there's going to be a recount. There were absentee ballots that were counted into the middle of the night. Usually, you're right, they count them the next day, but because this was an election that was getting national attention, through the night they were counting. And from what I understand, they were Republican counties, Washington and Greene counties. That's where all the absentees were coming from in the middle of the night. And it did narrow Lamb's margin of victory down to about 671 votes. But now there'll be a recount. But I don't believe there's going to be enough change in votes to make up 671. I believe Lamb won this election.
All right. Now, you obviously are right in the center of the arguments that are taking place about redistricting, redrawing lines. Will this all be for naught because the lines will go back to a congressional district not as favorable to Republicans in the future?
Basically, the 18th district, as it stands right now, goes away. And this is, it's bizarre. What is happening in Pennsylvania is bizarre, and you could spend a half hour talking about it and still not understand it. There'll be a 17th and a 14th district, I believe 17th and 14th district, that will now make up what used to be the 18th district. So Lamb won a district that's not going to exist anymore. He will not be living in it. He'll live in the 17th district. He's going to have to run in November as a challenger, even though he's a sitting congressman, as a challenger to a Republican who is in the 17th district. And the Cook Report right now makes that a toss-up. If Saccone wants to run again, he is going to have to run against a Democrat in the 14th district, Mike Doyle. So you're right. This is only a few months, and then both of them are going to have to run if they both want to run against incumbents in other districts. It's a mess. It is an absolute mess the way the redistricting is happening in Pennsylvania right now. But the Republicans only have themselves to blame because they gerrymandered Pennsylvania to the point where the districts looked ridiculous. They were going street by street to find votes. and they were called out on it by the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania. And now the Supreme Court redistricted the state, and that's now being challenged to the U.S. Supreme Court. So who knows what the districts are going to look like when it's all said and done, but as of right now, the 18th district, as it stands right now, that Conor Lamb looks like he won, is going away.
Wow. That's incredible. It's like a warm-up race before the main race. And millions of dollars were spent to prove what? Anyway, great report by Larry Menti. Again, he knows everything about Jersey and Pennsylvania better than anyone else here at WABC, no doubt about it. That's why you got to listen to him every Saturday night from 11 to 2.
Deep connections, deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
77 WABC.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you could.
He has Story a Kid, has created the theme song for the life and times of the leg breaker, the former consigliere of Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, Joe Pococo, who thought, like almost everyone else, that he was going to skate on the 6 charges of major corruption that he was found guilty of on 3 counts. Thought he was going to skate. It really looked bad. When the key federal witness ends up getting arrested halfway through the trial for scamming the federal government, and the jury was aware of it, and yet they found out that it didn't matter what the distractions, what the deflections were, that Joe Pococo used his wife, Lisa Pococo, for a low-show job in order to basically launder the money from the company that he was representing to his own personal interests. And there are all kinds of connections to the Cuomo administration. In fact, remember how Andrew spoke so glowingly of Joe Pococo at his father's eulogy.
And my father's third son, who sometimes I think he loved the most, Joe Pococo, really did an extraordinary job, and they did an extraordinary job with his funeral, and we want to thank them.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I know, Joe, your relatives, your supporters are listening. Look, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, who was your comparecich, so close to you that, in fact, you would take a bullet for him, even though he wasn't a blood brother of yours, like Chris Pretty Boy from CNN. But he's left you high and dry. You're looking at some serious time. Okay, maybe you can negotiate camp fed somewhere, but still, it's going to be serious time. All you got to do is flip. All you got to do is show the feds where all of Andrew Cuomo's bones are buried and who buried them. Because we understand, you are not the person who led the charge of corrupting state government. It was Andrew Cuomo. You were taught this by Mario Cuomo, your mentor, many, many years ago. This was your job, not to be Tom Hagen to the Corleones, the peacetime consigliere, but to be the wartime consigliere, the leg breaker. So give up Andrew Cuomo. Don't do the federal time. And understand that the feds would be more than happy to make you a member of Team America. It'll require you eating the Parmesan cheese and ratting out your very dear comparecich, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. But what has he done for you lately? Come on, Joe, you got a wife, you got daughters, you got a future ahead of you. You're going to give it all up for Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I? Are you insane in the brain?